Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Today on Route 51, we debate the question, should marijuana be legalized in Wisconsin? On January 1st, Colorado became the first state in the nation to not only sell medical marijuana, but to sell the drug for recreational use. Thousands lined up to buy it the first day. Shops ran out of their supply. And today, the state is expecting sales to total more than $500 million and generate tax revenue of up to $67 million. But the sale of marijuana is still illegal under federal law. The booming, or some would say budding, new business is only possible because the Obama administration has made federal enforcement of this particular law a low priority. I'm Glenn Moberg. Today on Route 51, we have two different perspectives on marijuana and its legalization. Jim Moss is Secretary of the Libertarian Party of Wisconsin and a former Libertarian candidate for State Assembly in the Wausau-based 85th District. Sue Nowak is a certified alcohol and drug abuse prevention specialist who has seen the effects of marijuana use, the negative effects, on a professional level. This is a cultural issue that has divided America. Recently, the pendulum has swung in the direction of legalization, and it has been a long time coming. From the 1940s and 1950s and the reefer madness scares to the 1960s, where folk and rock musicians celebrated the drug, including reggae artists like the one you just heard, Peter Tosh, who sang Legalize It in 1976. This is an issue that has divided the country. Where do you stand? We'd like you to join the conversation at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Peter Tosh popularized marijuana along with his fellow Jamaican and former band leader Bob Marley. They would both die early. Tosh was held hostage in his Jamaican home and shot to death at the age of 43. Bob Marley, who I had the good fortune to meet when I was a young man, died of cancer at the age of 36. Sue Nowak, there are a lot of musicians who popularize marijuana. Some, as we see, die young. Others do not. Your perspective on the cultural influences which are telling young people that it's okay to smoke it.
I think my greatest concern with this is our adolescence. We know that the human brain takes about 25 years to reach full development, and I think what's happening, or I know what's happening in our community in the last 2 years, marijuana has become the most popular drug in our high schools in Marathon County. And the kids are getting the idea that it's okay, that it's natural, it's an herb, and it's okay. We are going to see long-term effects from this because marijuana does and is affecting the brain.
Willie Nelson calls it an herb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we have to get rid of the idea that if something is natural and it's an herb, that means that it's safe. When kids tell me all the time that one of the positives of marijuana is that it's natural, my response is always poison ivy's natural. Go out and peel the bark off a tree and smoke it. That's natural. It can still hurt you.
Do you feel you're on the losing side of this battle? 25 years ago, only 15% of the American public believed marijuana should be legalized. This past week, a new CNN poll showed that number had skyrocketed to 55%. 55% of the American people now say we should legalize marijuana.
Well, I think it's really an uphill battle, and I'm a person that believes that just because it gets hard doesn't mean we give up. And I think we have to still keep pushing, and any child saved, to me, any child that you can change their behavior is a success.
Jim Moss, as the Secretary of the Libertarian Party of Wisconsin, you obviously have a different perspective.
Yes, I do. And as libertarians, we defend each person's right to engage in any activity that is peaceful and honest. And as far as the threats to children, of course, if marijuana was legalized, there would be an age limit, and it would be only for adults, and that would, I think, make Sue's job a lot easier. We limit the age for alcohol, and we would certainly do the same for other drugs.
An obvious question, I'm going to ask both of you this. Jim, have you ever smoked marijuana?
Yes, I have, along with millions of other people.
And Sue Nowak, have you ever smoked marijuana?
Only one-time experience back in the 70s when the percentage of THC was much lower than it is now.
So you've tried it once?
Once, yes. But I just have to comment on this, too. We have the legal drinking age as 21. Is that working? No. Alcohol is in the hands of our children. And as soon, you know, the popularity of a drug is about the accessibility of the drug.
All right. I think it's important for me to also make an admission here before we continue the show. I used to smoke marijuana when I was a young man in my late teens and 20s, first on college campuses. That was back in the early 70s. Marijuana was ubiquitous back then. It was in dorm rooms, on the quad, where people were playing frisbee and outdoor and indoor concerts. Even in bars, just about everybody, it seemed, was smoking and smoking openly. And later I worked for a progressive FM rock station in the Chicago area. That was my first full-time job in broadcasting. As a disc jockey, the musicians we played on the air performed songs about marijuana. That's where I met Bob Marley. When we hung out with them backstage, when we emceed shows, marijuana was often smoked openly by the musicians and by the MCs. Our advertising sponsors at this radio station included head shops selling bongs, rolling paper, and other marijuana paraphernalia openly on the air. Well, that was more than 30 years ago, and like a lot of other people, I found there are a lot of good reasons for stopping when I got out of the rock and roll business and became a corporate news executive in suburban Chicago and an anchorman and a reporter. Well, I changed a lot of things. I cut my hair. I started wearing suits and ties, and also realized that smoking marijuana wasn't compatible with being a manager or an on-air journalist or a role model. You're a role model both to the people who are watching you on television and to the young people that I hired to work in my newsroom. Now, Sue, as I said, there are a lot of good reasons not to smoke, and I'm sure you'll go into those in detail in the next hour. But as somebody who used to smoke marijuana, Jim, and who knows many people who also used to smoke, people who are now professional, hardworking people, executives, business owners, accomplished artists and artisans, I question whether it makes sense to put people in prison and jail and give them felony or even misdemeanor police records, which will follow them all through life just for smoking pot. So I'd like you guys to react to that. Jim, we'll start with you.
Well, yeah, I'd agree with that. The marijuana is evidently the third most popular drug in America, behind alcohol and tobacco. It's the illegal one, and I think the problems we have are caused by the illegality in our laws, which discriminate against the people that are using this drug. And the people of the United States and the state of Wisconsin are starting to get fed up with this. They're seeing that there's less difference between the legal drugs and the illegal drugs. And they don't think that the money we've spent and the effort we've expended on that is worth it. And we want to go back to the way it was before marijuana was declared illegal.
Now, that was 1937. It's not that long ago.
That's right. And and we didn't have the problems then that we do now because of the black market. We should have learned some lessons with the prohibition of alcohol. And Sue mentioned the accessibility for teenagers, but I don't think we want to go to prohibition of alcohol to protect our teenagers.
Sue Nowak, your reaction to what I just said, the dichotomy I feel about this, because, you know, there are a lot of bad things about marijuana, you know, a lot of bad things going through life with red glazed over eyes and forgetting what you're talking about in mid-sentence, and certainly it's dangerous to drive when you're stoned. But at the same time, all of these people, do you want to put them in prison? Do you want to give them criminal records?
No, I don't believe that prison is the answer. I do agree with both of you on that, because I think that, you know, if you have, first off, it's illegal. There should be consequences for it being illegal. But I think that we need to be looking at treatment. I think that that's the answer. Locking somebody up with an addiction isn't going to take away the disease of addiction.
Sue Nowak, a certified alcohol and drug abuse prevention specialist, and Jim Moss, the secretary of the Libertarian Party. We're debating whether or not marijuana should be legalized in Wisconsin like it is in Colorado. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to join the conversation, I'm sure you've got opinions. 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to Ron in Amherst. Ron, you're on Route 51.
My question is, why is no one talking about industrial hemp?
Well, I'm sure we can talk about industrial hemp. That's the cousin of marijuana grown in the United States back in the Revolutionary War. I heard that George Washington had hemp on his farm in Mount Vernon.
It was encouraged during World War II because it's made fibers and canvas and ropes for the Navy. So.
Well, biodegradable oil.
Well, Ron, thanks for the phone call. And Jim Moss, libertarians are also in favor of legalizing hemp.
Absolutely. And Congress has got some legislation that they're considering regarding industrial hemp. So maybe it'll come back. It's a sustainable crop, low pollution because it doesn't have to be maintained as much as some of our other fiber crops and oil crops. And so I think it would be great for Wisconsin farmers, and it would be good for their land as well.
And Sue Nowak, the problem, of course, with legalizing industrial hemp is if you have hemp fields, it's indistinguishable from marijuana, mm-hmm. from potent marijuana. So you mm-hmm. can grow potent marijuana right in the middle of the hemp field, and mm-hmm. nobody would know the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess I'm a believer, too, that hemp is a good product. So I think that hemp is something that we can use and are being used right now. You can go to a lot of stores right in our community, and you can purchase products that have hemp in it. Hemp doesn't have enough THC to give anybody a high, but marijuana can be grown in a lot of locations. People aren't going to wait just so that they've got hemp fields to grow marijuana. They're growing it in all different locations as it is right now.
Well, the phone calls are piling up. Let's go to Adam in Wanawak. Is that where you're from, Adam?
Oh, Wanawak, yep.
Your questions for Sue Nowak and Jim Moss.
It was more not a question, but I was going to say as far as how we view the drug, I mean, if we view it as something bad and we need treatment for it and it's negative, then no matter what, like everything else that we have on this earth, people will find a way to get it. And where we have them go is going to determine more outcomes in the future. Often with kids that get alcohol under the age of 21, generally go to a family member or an older brother or a friend's older brother or a friend's older sister. And then those people are kind of determined based off of what they know of the responsibility of their siblings, you know, whether they choose to or not to get them something like alcohol. And if we decide to do the same thing with marijuana, I believe that it would help regulate. You'd rather know where they're getting it and doing it as opposed to not.
All right, Adam, thanks so much for the phone call. I'll let our guests respond to that. Sue?
You know, my thought is that knowing that a child is using alcohol is not going to stop them from hurting their brain. Knowing that somebody is smoking marijuana, just because a parent knows they're using it, it doesn't mean that it's going to take away the harm or the damage that it can do to that child.
Let's play a clip right now. President Obama had some comments on this. Now, none of this, with marijuana being sold openly for recreational use in Colorado, would be happening if the federal government was enforcing federal law. Federal law says marijuana is illegal for any purpose, regardless of what individual states do, and the president has chosen not to enforce the law. He told Barbara Walters, this is a quote, "At this point, Washington and Colorado, you've seen the voters speak on the issue. It would not make sense for us to see a top priority as a top priority, going after recreational users in states that have determined it's legal, adding, we've got bigger fish to fry. Now, he made these comments to Jake Tapper of CNN earlier this week.
Another big issue in this country right now has to do with the legalization of marijuana. You gave an interview to The New Yorker's David Remnick, and you said that you thought smoking pot was a bad habit, but you didn't think it was any worse for a person than drinking. Now, that contradicts the official Obama administration policy, both on the website of the Office of National Drug Control Policy, and also the fact that marijuana is considered a Schedule I narcotic along with heroin and ecstasy. Now, do you think you were maybe talking just a little too casually about it with Remnick and The New Yorker, or are you considering not making marijuana a Schedule I narcotic?
Well, first of all, what is and isn't a Schedule I narcotic is a job for Congress.
I think it's the DEA that decides.
It's not something by ourselves that we start changing. No, there are laws under undergirding those determinations.
Would you support that move?
But the broader point, I stand by my belief, based, I think, on the scientific evidence, that marijuana for casual users, individual users, is subject to abuse just like alcohol is, and should be treated as a public health problem and challenge. But as I said in the interview, my concern is when you end up having very heavy criminal penalties for individual users that have been applied unevenly and in some cases with a racial disparity. I think that is a problem. Over the long term, what I believe is if we can deal with some of the criminal penalty issues, then we can really tackle what is a problem not just for marijuana, but also alcohol, also cigarettes, also harder drugs. And that is try to make sure that our kids don't get into these habits in the first place.
That's President Obama talking to CNN's Jake Tapper. Jim Moss, conservatives have often accused this president of running roughshod over states' rights. Does it surprise you that despite the supremacy of federal law, now he could easily shut this down in Colorado if he wanted to, that he and his attorney general are choosing not to enforce the law and let these states do what they want to do?
Well, I really don't think it's up to him to decide or not to decide. I think it's...
Well, he could certainly do it as a commander-in-chief. He could enforce federal law and send the troops in if he had to and shut these dispensaries down.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, as
a constitutional scholar, the first thing he should have recognized that prohibition is unconstitutional. It was unconstitutional for alcohol prohibition. They had to pass a constitutional amendment in order to pass the laws. And they changed the Constitution back again, but they didn't do that for drug prohibition. So it's unconstitutional, and it's also unconstitutional for the feds to impose onto the states their laws. And so as a constitutional scholar, where's he been for the first term and a half? And now he's thinking, well, maybe the states could do what they want. Well, he's kind of late to the game, and there's a lot of people who are very disappointed with his actions on this. A lot of people voted for him because they thought he was going to bring an end to the war on drugs, and he hasn't done so. Now he's thinking about, well, maybe his legacy can be bringing an end to this war, and I hope that that's what happens, but where's he been the first 6 years?
I don't want to get into this in detail, but there are other opinions on the issue of the supremacy of the federal government. Some would say that when Robert E. Lee surrendered his sword to General Grant, and we passed the 14th Amendment, the issue of whether the federal government or the state governments are supreme was decided.
I've heard that myth before, yes.
Sue Nowak, your reaction to what the president said and the fact that he's not enforcing the law. Do you think he should be doing that?
Well, and I think that there is so much chaos and so much myths around marijuana, misinformation about marijuana, that I think, first off, all of the states have to gather that together here, and we've got to come up with some common ground here, but that's got to be done a lot through education, too. And I think that we need to be consistent and not – it seems like the states right now that are legalizing it, they're all experiments. And I think, and again, it's good for Wisconsin to sit and watch and see what's going to happen in these other states. Unfortunately, it's going to take a number of years to see the fallout of the marijuana as far as what it's going to do to our young people who are smoking pot.
Now, in terms of Wisconsin, we are moving further toward criminalizing marijuana. Right now, the law states that for a first offense, possession of any amount of marijuana is a misdemeanor, punishable by 6 months in jail or a $1,000 fine. Subsequent offenses, a felony, punishable by 3 to 5 years and a $10,000 fine. Just a few days ago, the Wisconsin Assembly approved a bill that would give local governments more power to punish marijuana use. Municipalities would be able to prohibit the possession of any amount of marijuana and issue citations and prosecute for second offenses if the district attorney declines to file charges. And the sponsor, Republican Representative Jeremy Thiesfeld, I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly, says authorities in his district are frustrated when they arrest people for marijuana possession, but the cases don't go anywhere. So Jim Moss, Wisconsin moving in an opposite direction from many states.
Well, yes, and Wisconsin has the most draconian drug laws regarding marijuana of all the Midwestern states. I don't know why. It's pretty similar on first offense, minor possession, with the other Midwestern states, but then for some reason Wisconsin really got into that war on drugs and no compassion, and that was back in the 70s, and the other states have changed and Wisconsin hasn't for some reason. I don't know why. I think the...
Well, Sue Nowak, there's probably a good reason why Wisconsin hasn't changed.
Well, I'm actually impressed that Wisconsin is holding its ground and not just giving it up and saying, okay, let this be a free-for-all and anybody do what they want with that.
All right, we're going to go to Boyd in Wautoma. Boyd, you're on Route 51.
Yes, I'll make this brief. I think that they're going to have to legalize all drugs, and I'm going to tell you why. I think the reason why crime, and I know your guests have alluded to this, is up, it 9 times out of 10 comes down to drugs. And I think when all the drugs are legalized, crime will drop significantly. And for people that do have a drug problem, I think the state should intervene and cover for rehab and whatever it takes to get them rehabilitated. This is similar to how they do this in the Netherlands. And I'll take my comments off the air.
All
thanks.
Right. Boyd, thanks so much for your comments. Sue Nowak?
I'd be really afraid if all drugs were legalized. We still have to continue to say no. As adults in this community, our job is to protect our children. And if we say yes to everything and just go ahead, use whatever you want, we're not going to be able to protect our kids.
Jim Moss, if we legalize marijuana, do we have to legalize everything else? You want to legalize methamphetamine, heroin, LSD, what have you?
Libertarians would say that adults own our own bodies, and we can put whatever we want to in them, whether it's a good idea or not, as long as we accept the responsibility for what happens.
Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-780-9742, if you'd like to join the conversation. That's 1-800-780-9742. Joe in Coloma, you're on Route 51. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Glenn. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
All right, so I have to take a look at this issue with a historical perspective, because regardless of what the Constitution says about prohibition, there's just legal precedent to this situation that's occurred with marijuana. Now, I want to remind us of two situations that kind of line up. One of them is the creation and expansion of the Women's Christian Temperance Union, which back in the 1800s, before prohibition came into effect, the WCTU helped push states, state by state, essentially, to create laws that basically prohibited alcohol. And this was a serious issue that occurred because people back then consumed alcohol 3 times the amount they do today. problematic, you know. But the problem, of course, occurs when you make it illegal. You have to deal with the market of whatever it is, alcohol, marijuana, heroin. And that market doesn't go away. There are still people who are demanding it for whatever reason. And the real problem does not get addressed, is that the people who are using the drug need help instead of punitive measures. There's a lot of different reasons why people do drugs in the first place, and we have to understand that. So I agree that it's a health concern, you know, talking about historical precedent and taking a look at back, you know, with the Women's Christian Temperance Union, what Nixon did with marijuana. Someone mentioned that already. That's great. But it's a similar idea, and we have to take a look at it as a market issue. And the market needs to be regulated, and we have to, of course, treat people with the problem, because that's the main issue with marijuana use and drug use in general.
All right. We got it, Joe. Thanks so much for your comments. And again, Sue Nowak, we need treatment.
We need treatment. We need a lot more treatment. And again, I have to go back to, as adults, we need to protect our children. If an adult, if a parent is putting marijuana or any other drug in their body, how are they going to be able to properly take care of their children?
And to take an historical perspective, before we take a break, marijuana was legal in this country until 1937, when Congress passed the Marijuana Tax Act under the guidance of Harry Anslinger of the Federal Bureau of Narcotics. Marijuana was made illegal. Industrial hemp was still grown through World War II. But marijuana has been with us a long time, but it's been only illegal since 1937. And to illustrate how long it's been with us as we go into the break, here's a piece of music that was recorded before the federal laws against marijuana by a jazz band, Baron Lee and the Blue Rhythm Band. We'll be back with more of your questions and comments and more discussion on whether marijuana should be legalized after this.
Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Have you ever met that funny reefer man? If he says he swam to China, wants to sell you South Carolina, then you know you're talking to that reefer man. Have you ever met that funny, funny reefer man? Have you ever met that funny reefer man?
Thank you to the business sponsors who help support WPR programs. Businesses like Madison Gas and Electric, Al Johnson Swedish Restaurant, and Rittenhouse play a huge role in the success of WPR. For more information, go to WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Wausau's Woodson Art Museum, presenting two magical exhibitions, From Houdini to Hugo, The Art of Brian Selznick, and historic lithographs and props from the American Museum of Magic, on view through April 6th. More at lywam.org.
Give me champagne when I'm thirsty.
What?
And give me a reefer when I won't want to get high.
That's it.
Champagne when I'm thirsty. Give me a reefer when I want to get high.
You're listening to the Rolling Stones and Mick Jagger with blues legend Muddy Waters, recorded live at the Checkerboard Lounge on the south side of Chicago, singing Muddy's composition, Champagne and Reefer. The two of them joining other giants in the music industry who have celebrated the use of marijuana in music or admitted using it publicly. The Stones were busted for pot in the 60s, as was John Lennon and Paul McCartney of the Beatles in separate incidents. Outlaw country artists like Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings admitted using it. Nelson is still unapologetic. Folk singers like Bob Dylan, John Prine, John Hartford, and Brewer and Shipley, country rock acts like the New Riders of the Purple Sage, Commander Cody, and even a conservative country artist like Charlie Daniels have written songs about smoking marijuana. Justin Bieber now in legal trouble, in part for smoking marijuana. Sue Nowak, how can you get your message across to young people when we have more than 40 years of the most popular performing artists in the world sending a contrary message?
Well, I, education, number one, keep talking about it. But I think the thing that we haven't talked about, too, is that when we look at people that have been using marijuana 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, the marijuana today is a different drug. And it is affecting our adolescents, our young people, differently. You know, and it used to be, even back in the 70s, people would start using marijuana at 17, 18 years old. We've got kids as young as 10, 11 years old in our community that are already smoking marijuana.
But tell me why it's a different drug.
Because the strength of it has changed so much. What used to be 1, maybe 2% THC is now up to, you know, anywhere from 8 to 10 to 15 times stronger. So when I hear kids, teens, have said to me on numerous occasions, and I have a group of teens at one of the schools listening to this program this morning. And when I hear them say, I know somebody who's 40 years old and they've been smoking pot, you know, for 20, 25 years and they're still holding a job and doing okay. When they were smoking pot, they were smoking 1%. Today, we're smoking a different drug.
When they're 40 years old, are they still smoking? Because chances are they'd be getting what's on the market today.
Right. But there's a difference between the underdeveloped brain and how that changes and damages the brain versus an adult smoking marijuana. Either way, no matter how you look at it, marijuana is an impairment drug. It impairs your brain.
Tell me, let's go into this a little bit more. Give me a personal example, a real example of a young person that you've had to deal with professionally who's been affected by this.
Well, one of the things is that, you know, we see marijuana psychosis. It doesn't mean that everybody who smokes marijuana is going to get a psychosis from it. But because the strength is so strong, we are seeing the psychosis. So we're seeing an increase in paranoia. We are, and there's plenty of research out there, that for some people, marijuana alone, not being mixed with any other drug, can cause mental health issues. It can cause depression. But we also know that it causes the memory loss. It causes new research here, and I'm just going to very quickly say this. Research shows that marijuana, adolescent marijuana use, causes structural damage, neuronal loss, and impair brain function on a number of levels, such as ability to plan, organize, solve problems, remember, make decisions, and control behavior and emotions. But let me go to another side of this, too. A while back, I was going to do a class with middle school kids, educating them on marijuana. What I had not planned on is one of the students in this group of about 15 to 20 middle school students, we're looking at 11, 12-year-old kids. One student said to me, you know, I hate it when my parents smoke marijuana. They come home from work, and the most important thing for them is to relax and have their marijuana. And what ended up happening is there was a discussion, and a majority of the kids in this group, and they were kids that were already having some difficulties, they started explaining how hard it is for them to live in a home where the parents are under the influence of marijuana, where they can't sit and have a healthy, normal conversation with their parents.
It'd be like being in a home where the parents are drunk, right?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we want to...
So what's the difference? I mean, alcohol is legal.
And that is exactly. Why are we continuing to compare marijuana to alcohol? Working within the treatment regime for so many years, we now consider, we call marijuana our medicine, and we call our marijuana users who want to get high, we call them patients. But in the treatment setting, I have heard for years, I've heard alcoholics saying that the alcohol is their medicine. I've heard people that are addicted to other drugs call it their medicine. So, you know, we have to look at what is the real reason people are using drugs. Are they using it as a medicine? Or are they using the whole medical use as just a cover-up for getting high?
Jim Moss, many people have said we've already got a problem with tobacco and alcohol. Why do we need another problem?
Well, first let me say that the long-term cognitive impairment thing is a myth. Studies have shown that subjects under the influence of marijuana have no problem remembering things they learned previously. The diminished capacity to learn and recall new information is only for the time that they're under the influence, and there's no convincing evidence that heavy long-term marijuana use permanently impairs memory or other cognitive functions. And I'll just point out that, let's see, we've had several national leaders, Clinton, Bush, and Obama, that have been marijuana users, and it doesn't seem like their brain was fried on drugs. So Now I forgot your question.
And
I haven't even been smoking.
And let me just comment on that. When you're talking about these adults who smoked marijuana, again, if they smoked it as a teen, given their age now, they were smoking 1 or 2% THC. Our teens today are no longer smoking something that has that small amount of THC.
Okay, but people are smart enough to be able to tell how much that's affecting them, and they'll smoke less. It isn't like you have to smoke a whole joint. You smoke until you feel good and stop.
My experience back in the 70s was that people who smoked knew the difference between good marijuana and bad marijuana. Mm. And if you got good marijuana, you didn't smoke as much of it. If you got bad marijuana, you smoked a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, people smoke marijuana in order to get high. Now, that to me is different with some people as far as alcohol abuse is concerned. You can have a glass of wine with dinner without getting drunk. But I have never seen somebody smoke marijuana without specifically trying to get high in the process.
Exactly. And high means impairment of the brain. Why do we need to be a society that is under the influence or impaired?
Let's go to the phones. Bud in Wausau, you're on Route 51.
Hi, I am 83 years old. I follow the news religiously. I get Time Magazine, and I follow the news on TV and in the local newspaper. And the experts that are involved with this said in the past that virtually everybody that gets onto the more dangerous, hard drugs started, virtually everybody got started on marijuana. Marijuana takes away your power to reason, and at that point, you're liable to do anything that you would not do if you maintained your proper brain power and ability to reason. So that's my comment, and the idea that it should be legalized and allowed for whatever other reasons. These people under that influence will eventually get onto harder drugs more than likely, and it's just that's my comment.
Oh, Bud, thanks so much for your comment.
Can I respond to that?
Yes.
Okay, if Bud's a news junkie, he should know that myth has been debunked by Time Magazine and CBS News. It's no longer persuasive. It's like saying that Hell's Angels, the gateway to Hell's Angels is riding a bicycle. It just doesn't match up.
Sue Nowak, you have a different impression.
You know, and again, working with addictions, if you talk to anybody who has an addiction to heroin, cocaine, meth, somewhere in their drug history, they have used marijuana and they've used alcohol. So we know that marijuana can lead to stronger drugs. We can look at all the research and we can look at the people who are standing in front of us. But the reality also is that not everybody that uses marijuana is going to go to stronger drugs.
There is a backlash to this move to legalize marijuana, and one of its top spokesmen is former Rhode Island Democratic Congressman Patrick Kennedy. Here's a clip of him debating the issue with libertarian Nick Gillespie of Reason Magazine. This is a segment moderated by Don Lemon of CNN.
Policy is important because, for example, he's been the best president so far on mental health coverage and addiction coverage. And so it's incongruous for his administration to be for a third legalized drug. So we have tobacco, alcohol, and now we would have marijuana.
He didn't necessarily say that he was for the legalization of it. What he was saying was that he doesn't believe he believes it's equally as bad as alcohol.
So the issue here, Don, is the fact it's the permissive environment that leads particularly young people to think that there's no big deal about smoking marijuana, when in fact the marijuana of today is genetically modified. It's multiple times stronger than the marijuana that President Obama smoked 20, 30 years ago. Yeah. So there are issues here. It is harmful. If the president listened to his own NIH director in charge of drug policy, Nora Volkoff, she would tell him this is damaging to emotional growth as well as cognitive growth.
For children. Whose brains have not developed. And what we're talking about with the president, and if you're talking about this, you're talking about the legalization of marijuana, which would be for adults.
Yeah, I have no problem with adults in the sense that, there's consequences to allowing you and I to have a doobie.
Right.
Okay? And the consequences are that you have
you
a lot
that
of
like
young,
you know.
Oh, I know. I know. The consequences are then young people think it's no big deal. So we ought to not speak out of the mouth and act a different way. And that's the problem
I have.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's absolutely true. Look, there are consequences to legalization. There are also massive, horrifying consequences to prohibition. We arrest 750,000 people a year for marijuana alone. 90% of those arrests are for simple possession. If you're black, you're four times as likely, says the ACLU, to get arrested for simple possession of pot. So to say that the status quo is okay is wrong.
That's Nick Gillespie, a libertarian of Reason magazine, and Patrick Kennedy, former congressman, who is opposed to the legalization of marijuana. And let me elaborate on those statistics. The ACLU says of the 8.2 million marijuana arrests between 2001 and 2010, 88% were for simple possession, not for dealing. Nationwide, the arrest data also revealed, they say, significant racial bias despite roughly equal usage rates. Blacks are 3.73 times more likely than whites to be arrested for marijuana. Jim Moss, comment on that.
Well, yes, and Wisconsin is the worst of them all for locking up minorities for marijuana use, and this has to stop. There's no excuse for that. The statistics show that Wisconsin is terrible, not only overall compared to the other states, well, for their draconian incarceration numbers, but the incarceration of blacks. And Wisconsin isn't even known as a state where there's a lot of blacks in our population. So somewhere there's a problem. And I think I'm encouraged now that there's legislation for medical marijuana. All marijuana, there's a new bipartisan bill for oil that's comes from marijuana to help children's epileptic seizures.
There's a lot of movement in a number of different states.
Yes. So there's hope.
Sue Nowak, comment on the racial disparity. That seems to be at the heart of the president's problem with marijuana law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've read a lot of information on that and looked at a lot of statistics. And again, you know, I think that this is something that we have to look at. You know, I'm not sure what to say beyond that, that it does seem unfair.
Sue Nowak, she is a drug abuse and alcohol prevention specialist. Jim Moss, Secretary of the Libertarian Party, debating the question of whether marijuana should be legalized in Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're going into a break, and here's Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson with an anti-drug song.
Take back the weed, take back the cocaine, baby. Take back the pill. Take back the whiskey, too. Don't need it now. Your love was all I was after. I'll make it now. I can get off on you. I got brain damage from taking those drugs. Brain damage from smoking those rugs. All I got to show for my time is just an empty head.
That's Brewer and Shipley, who had a big hit record with One Toke Over the Line in 1971. This is a song they did a little bit later, and one that unfortunately rings true, according to Sue Nowak, one of our guests today, with Jim Moss debating the issue of marijuana legalization. Sue? You got brain damage from smoking those rugs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And again, it goes back to that is my greatest concern. You know, the future of our children are really what's at stake here. And I think that's what we need to focus on, marijuana as a medical or a health concern rather than just sitting back and relaxing. There, you know, you talk about marijuana being a natural drug, but if you want to naturally de-stress and relax, there are ways of doing that without putting a chemical in your body.
And Jim Moss, your reaction?
Well, I don't think that marijuana is the most serious problem that we have or Sue has to deal with. Nationally, alcohol-induced deaths, 25,692 a year. All illicit drugs, 17,000 a year. Out of that, marijuana is zero. And really, the growing problem is pharmaceutical drugs, overuse of prescribed pharmaceutical drugs. 22,000.
We have zero deaths from overdoses of marijuana. But what about people who get high and get behind the wheel of a car? Sue, you just handed me some statistics showing that deadly motor vehicle crashes involving marijuana have tripled in the last decade.
Mm-hmm. And that information just came out yesterday. But the other thing too is that one of the myths is that marijuana does not kill. And that is a myth. And I have for several years been very close to John Larson, our former medical examiner. And often John and I would get together and we would talk about the deaths. And there are a number of deaths right here in Marathon County that marijuana has been a factor in.
How is that?
There's been accidents. There's a farming accident. There's been vehicle accidents. And it makes me think of a young man that I met.
So it's not by overdosing. It's by people who are high and go out and do something.
It's the decision making that we do, yes. And I think of a young man, and very quickly I'm going to share the story. This was a young man I met a few years ago, and he and his friend decided who was best to drive, the drunk or the marijuana impaired. The one drove was the marijuana impaired. He wrapped that car around a tree and killed his best friend who was drunk.
Let's go to the phones very quickly. Catherine from Lake Tomahawk, we're running down to our last couple of minutes here, so you got to make your point quick.
Yes, I will. I'd just like to bring into the discussion medical marijuana use. It's wonderful anti-nausea for cancer patients. It helps very much with glaucoma. And there's bringing marijuana out of the black market and into dispensaries, maybe starting with medical marijuana, where you have verified strains and doses, and without sending millions of people into jail for simple possession, might be a possible start.
All right, Catherine, thanks so much for your comment. Medical marijuana, Sue Nowak. The government says there's no such thing.
Yeah, and I do believe that marijuana has some good medical usage, but I also know that there are three pills out there, and they are available, and they are available in some of the states that have legalized it. The problem is, you can't get high from it. And so people don't want to use the pill because the reality is a lot of people that are claiming medical conditions are using it to get high. But I do also, with that said, believe that marijuana has some good medical usage.
And Jim Moss, any final words? We are down to our last few seconds here.
Well, I'd just like to add that things like Marinol are not liked by patients because it isn't as effective. They have to take it orally, and if they have nausea, that doesn't work very well. So I just would like to say that the pharmaceutical companies are the ones that are really our big obstacle to reforming our drug laws, and we need to talk to and make our points to our legislators because they're affected by the big pharmaceutical companies.
All right. Jim Moss, Sue Nowak, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
So we'll just go.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. I'm not sleepy and there is no place I'm going to. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me.
We want to thank today's guest, Jim Moss, Secretary of the Libertarian Party of Wisconsin and a former Libertarian candidate for State Assembly in the Wausau-based 85th District. Also, Sue Nowak, a certified alcohol and drug abuse prevention specialist. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today by Peter Tosh, Baron Lee and the Blue Rhythm Band, the Rolling Stones and Muddy Waters, Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson, Brewer and Shipley, and Bob Dylan. Remember to follow us on Facebook, and if you missed some of this broadcast, a reminder that Route 51 is repeated in its entirety every Friday evening at 7 on 90.9 FM Wausau, and you can download it at wpr.org/Route 51. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.
Take me on a trip upon your magic swirling ship. My senses have been stripped. My hands can't feel the grip. My toes too.